Several years ago, can you hear me okay? Can you hear me okay? Janet, can you hear me? If Janet can hear me, then all of you can hear me. Okay, there we are. Sometimes Janet hears my lips. Many years ago in New York City, there was a pharmacy. And the pharmacist was tired because he was up all day long, and it was about midnight. And he decided then that he would go and take a nap. And he had a little cot in the back room. And so he then went to lie down, and you know how it goes when you just get starting going into a sleep? He was just going into a sleep, and all of a sudden there was at the door. He had locked the door just to make sure nobody came in while he was sleeping. And so he was a little bit disturbed that once he decided to take a nap, somebody decided to come to the pharmacy. So he got up, a little disgruntled, and went to the door, opened it up, and there was a little boy with a handwritten note. And the little boy said, "Mama said to fill this for her." So he took the little note, went to the bottles, and began to do his thing. And he was anxious to get rid of the little boy so he can go back to the nice sleep he was having. And so he gave the little boy the medicine, sent him off, locked the door, went back to lie down on the cot, and this time he couldn't go back to sleep. So now he was upset. So he decided then, I might as well get up and do something since I can't sleep. So he went back and decided to go over the prescriptions or the papers that had come in throughout the day to put them in the right place. And as he got to the last one, he discovered something was wrong. He had misread what the lady asked for, and he had filled the wrong prescription. And now he was very, very, very anxious because he did not recognize the little boy. There was no address, and he was fearful that all of a sudden that poor, unexpected mother would drink something that was potentially fatal to her. He did not know what to do. So he finally decided to kneel down and ask God to forgive him for his indolence, for getting upset, and for this grave mistake. Please, God, somehow intervene. And as he was praying, there's a knock on the door again. He wasn't anxious to answer it, but the door kept on being knocked on, so he decided he better open up, and it was that little boy. And the little boy was crying, and he said, "Oh, no." And the little boy said, "Mister," and he was waiting to hear something happened to Mama. But instead he heard, "Mister, could you help me?" "Well, what do you want me to help you with?" "I was running as fast as I could, and I tripped and fell, and the bottle broke. Can you fill the prescription again?" "Gladly," said the man. So he went to the counter, and this time he made sure he put the right thing in those bottles and sent off the boy and locked the door and knelt down and said, "Thank you, Jesus." There's something about taking the wrong medicine, isn't it? Yes or no? How many of you have known people who have gotten the wrong medicine? Any of you? Yes, I've even known people who got the wrong surgery. There was a young lady in a hospital in Salt Lake City, and there was a little Mexican girl that needed a change of a kidney, and they sent for the replacement. The replacement came, and after the surgery, they discovered that they did not put the right organ in. They put the wrong organ in. Now they were frantic because it took a long time to finally find a replacement. And now it was even more difficult because there was not much time. And unfortunately, the little girl died. In that same hospital, my brother-in-law went for replacement of a valve, heart valve. And the doctors made a mistake. They put a valve that was not the right size, and rather than trying to get the right valve, they cinched the heart muscles to actually be able to take the valve, and they closed them up, and the heart did not accept the valve, and my brother-in-law passed away. Now, I'm not naming the hospital, but just beware of it. The wrong medicine can be deadly. Let's pray together as we study. Heavenly Father, your word brings us living medicine. But we also know that there is medicine that's not to life but to death. And we pray that by thy grace that you will help us to understand the purpose of understanding this subject, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, in the book of Revelation, it speaks about something called the Antichrist. It calls it the beast. In Revelation chapter 14, verse 7 through 10, that particular chapter and those verses have to do with the receiving the mark of the beast. And it warns that if anybody receives the mark of the beast or the number of its name, shall receive of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into his cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented before the angels, and his smoke ascendeth up for how long? Forever and ever. Now, I should tell you that the word forever and ever doesn't mean forever and ever. I know you're looking at me saying, well, that's funny. The Bible uses the word forever and ever in several ways, but one of the ways that it uses it that most people miss is that it means as long as it lasts. For example, in Jonah chapter 3, it says that Jonah was in the belly of the whale forever. For how long? Forever. How long was forever for Jonah? It was 3 days. How long was he there? 3 days. But it says that he was there for how long? Forever. Well, listen, if you were in the mouth of a whale for 1 minute, as far as you're concerned, you're in there forever. So the word forever means as long as it lasts. Okay. And it is the smoke that ascends up forever, not the people. Now, it's important to know that God warns us about something, and it calls it the wine of the wrath of God. What is it? Which is the wine of Babylon. And the wine of Babylon is warned against in the scriptures, because Babylon, as the doctor said, is confusion. And the wine is basically a mixture that confuses people. And Paul, recognizing that things were getting close to the time when this movement will begin, wrote and warned the believers of those days by saying, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto a what? Unto another gospel. Do you see that? Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So in Paul's time, there were people already preaching another gospel. Here's another text that's important here concerning this. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say we again, if any man preach any other gospel than that you have received, let him be accursed. So Paul recognized that there are doctrines being preached that people were calling the gospel, when in reality it was another gospel, another true gospel. Now, in 2 Corinthians, it even warns about another Jesus. Notice the last verse, verse 4. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus whom we have not preached. So they were preaching another Jesus, another gospel. And if it was true in those days, it is absolutely true today. There are many, 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 many gospels that are being preached that are called the gospel. And only one gospel is the true one. And that's why we need to study the scriptures. Notice that in 1 John chapter 4, verse 3, it says, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of what? Of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. Now notice then that Paul says that the spirit of Antichrist was already in the world at his time. When? At his time. However, there are many people today that are declaring that the vaccine is the beast, the mark of the beast. How many of you have ever heard of that? You remember when President Reagan was alive? There are people who were claiming that he was the beast. And so there are many, many ideas about beasts. And because there are so many beastly ideas, people get confused. So, it begins when Paul was yet alive. The spirit of Antichrist, even now already, is it in the world. Can you see that? Now, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So this is the word Antichrist actually means in the place of. Today we use the word anti as against, but the actual meaning of anti means in the place of. So, if somebody's trying to take your place, they are anti you, which means that they are trying to supplant or replace you. So, the attempt of the enemy of God is to replace Christ in any way, shape, or form. And the way that he can replace Christ is by using the name of Christ. So he is called Antichrist. Now, in order to understand this particular beast power, we first must go to Revelation 13. And if you're there, look at verses 1 through 8, and I'll read it as quickly as I can. Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 through 8. And it begins with seeing a beast coming up out of the sea. And I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the names of blasphemy. Verse 2. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were like the feet of a bear. And his mouth, the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded unto death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given unto him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. And so it reveals a beast that comes up out of the sea that has how many heads? Seven heads. How many horns? Ten horns. And it does mention there, mouth of a lion, the feet of a bear, the body of a leopard. So, how many of you have seen a beast like this in a zoo? The only thing I know that comes close to a mixed-up beast is a platypus. The platypus has a duck of a bill and has a body of a beaver and the tail of a beaver. How many of you have seen the platypus? Any of you? I've seen it. I used to think it was a big animal. It's actually a little tiny creature like this. And so this is a creature described with 10 horns on 7 heads. And it has a body like a leopard and it rises up out of the sea. So what does this mean? In order to understand that then, we have to go to the book of Daniel, because after this description, there's no more description in the book of Revelation about these beasts. It doesn't use the term beast after that. It uses other words like woman, city, but it doesn't use the word beast. So in order to understand what these beasts represent, you have to go to Daniel, the Old Testament, because these two prophetic books are sister books. So Daniel chapter 7 reveals that there is a beast that is undescribable or indescribable, but it first starts out with a lion. Notice chapter 7. Are you there? Verse 2 and through 4. And Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens drove upon the great sea. That's the word sea again. Can you see that? And the Bible says that the sea represents many people, multitudes of people. Then four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from the other. And verse 4 says, the first was like a lion, and they had an eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked up, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made to stand upon his feet as a man, and the lion's heart, a man's heart was given unto it. Verse 5, and behold, another beast, a second like a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in its mouth between the teeth of it, and they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. Then verse 6, after this I beheld, and lo, another, like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl, and the beast also four heads, and dominion was given unto it. So here you have the lion with wings, then you have the bear, and then you actually have the leopard, which has four heads and four wings. Then after that, it says, after this I saw in the night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong, exceeding, and it had great iron teeth, and it devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that they were before it, and it had 10 horns. How many horns? 10 horns. Now, do you see some similarities? If you look at the similarities, it is this. The other beast is made up of the three beasts that are mentioned first. The other beast is the mouth of a lion, the feet of a bear, and the body of a leopard. Remember that? Yes? And it had how many horns? 10 horns. How many horns does this one have? 10 horns. So what the Bible is revealing to us is that it is shedding light on the kingdoms that will be coming up on the earth from the time of Babylon all the way unto the second coming. And those kingdoms are mentioned by names, and we'll get to that shortly. I considered the horn, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there was three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn, were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great what things. Now notice then that both describe speaking blasphemy or great things. It describes the same similarities, the horns, etc., except that in here it shows that the little horn comes out of the 10 horns. You see that? The horn comes up out of the 10 horns. Now, these particular horns or powers, the Bible declares to be four kings. You see that? These great beasts, which are four kings or kingdoms, which shall arise out of the earth. Now, you could try to guess and say, well, those kings of this, those kings of that. I remember a certain man in New York City saying that the four beasts, one was Japan, the other one was Korea, the other one was China, and the other one was Australia. I don't know where he got that. But anyway, at least he had some names to name the beast. But he was just guessing. What was he doing? Guessing. You don't have to guess at this because the Bible makes it plain. Listen, we know that beast, and this is a chart of the different animals that represent different kingdoms or countries in our day today. America is represented by what? It used to be an eagle. I'm saying used to be an eagle because now they have adopted, guess what? The bison. So now they have the eagle and the buffalo. Okay, did you know that? How many of you knew that? Well, where you all been? As they say, down yonder south. All right? These are animals that represent, for example, England. If I ask you England, what represents England? What beast? The lion, that's correct. If I ask you what represents Russia? The bear. That's correct, the bear. And so different empires have different animals that represent it. And that's why you have a whole list here. It's a little hard to see. But these are all different countries. And then it tells what kind of the rooster, for example. I remember Romania had the rooster represented. Or the eagle also. And so Italy has the rooster. And so there are many different kingdoms with different animals that are supposed to be representing the particular kingdoms. Well, they did the same thing in the old times. In the old times, they had animals, except that they were more embellished because they had imagination. They put lions wings on the lion. But the wings represented speed. The lion, with speed, conquered the known world in those days. That was Babylon. But after Babylon, then another power came up. And the other power that came up was the Medes and the Persians. Now, if you go to the Pergamon Museum in Berlin. This is a picture I took. Hitler actually brought this figure from Babylon. And if you notice, it has the body of a lion and it has the head of a man. So Babylon actually had a lion with wings on its walls. And here's proof of it. Now, the kingdoms that conquered Babylon, which is called Medo-Persia, two that joined together, and these were able to conquer Babylon, and they extended their power beyond the place where Babylon had extended, and now they have into Asia Minor as well as out toward India. Then it continues, the next power, the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them. So the leopard, by the way, represented Greece. Greece was the leopard power that conquered the Medes and the Persians. So you have then these powers. Now, how many of you have been to Germany? Any of you to Nuremberg? Anybody been to Nuremberg? All right. I see, Ron, you've been to Nuremberg. You were a soldier there at that time, I assume. All right. But I don't know if you ever noticed this, because most people don't. This is the city hall. You see the building with the green roof? Okay, that's the city hall in Nuremberg. And when you get closer to the city hall, you find that it has above every door images. You see them? Okay? Each door has images. And this building was built around 1613 to 1619. What was going on during that time in Germany? The Reformation. Remember the Reformation? That's where the Lutheran Church took roots. All right, so here you have Nuremberg, the city hall built in 1600s, and even though Germany was bombed, this building survived. Now, what's interesting about this building is that those images actually are the images from Daniel chapter 7. I want you to notice something interesting. This one has the headdress of a Babylonian emperor, okay? And I don't know if you can see a lion with wings behind it. Then on the other side is a Persian headdress. And by the way, Persians are basically people from Iran. So here it is with the headdress, and what do you have behind it? What does that look like? Well, can you see it? You can't see it. Well, I have better eyes than you, or I'm closer. Which one? All right, it's a bear. What is it? It's a bear. Then we go to the next one. Next one, you have there something that has four heads. Okay? It's a leopard with four heads. And it's a Grecian headdress. And the next one is what? A Roman headdress. And what do you suppose it has behind it? There. The beast with 10 horns. Interesting? What does that tell you? That what I'm teaching you tonight is nothing new. It's just that you didn't know it. The people in Europe understood quite well in those days, the Christians, that those beasts in Daniel chapter 7 were the beasts representing the different empires that I just mentioned. And now, let me just give you a little closer view of that beast. There it is. See that? And it has what? 10 horns. And what comes up out of it? A little horn. You see that? Okay. Now, the reason why Daniel could not describe that beast is because he had never seen a beast like it. But later on, in Revelation, it shows you the beast as a composite beast. In other words, all those empires, as one conquered the other, they borrowed from each other. Until finally, by the time you get down to the last beast, it is a beast that's made up of the three other beasts that were before it. So now you have the fourth beast as a composite beast of the other beasts. That's why, rather than saying a full lion with wings, it just says with a lion's mouth. And then it says with a body of a leopard or with the feet of the bear. You understand what I'm saying? So here then, God is revealing that there is a power that comes out of these kingdoms that are fallen. Until you get to the last kingdom, which is the Roman Empire. So the 10-horn beast has already adopted different ideas from the other empires and now becomes a composite beast. And when Rome falls, because Rome was not conquered, if you remember, when Rome fell, it divided into 10, and the horns are representative of the power of each kingdom that broke off from Roman Empire. So now you have what we call Europe. What do we call it? Europe. But in those days, they didn't call it Europe. In those days, they called it the Roman Empire. What was it called? The Roman Empire. And so we have then the Roman Empire that rises up, and this is the division of that Roman Empire into the different kingdoms that are mentioned today. We have the Spanish, which is the Visigoths, the Portuguese, which were Suevis, then the Vandals, which are extinct, and the Herulites, which are extinct. But then you have the Burgundians, the Swiss, the Ostrogoths, the Alemanni, which is the Germans, the Lombards, which are the Italians, the French, which are the Frank, and Anglo-Saxons, which are the English. So those are the old names and with the new names. Most of us know it as English, France, etc. And so these 10 kingdoms were the divided remains of the Roman Empire. And if you go to Europe today, you will find throughout Europe roads or castles that are remnants of the Roman Empire. If you go to Spain, you'll see like right there near a place called Sagunto, you see a Roman amphitheater that is still being used by the Italian who do opera there. And it's still there intact. You can go there, you can walk through it, etc., built by the Romans back in the time of Christ. So all through Europe, all the way up to Norway, to Poland, etc., you will find remnants of the Roman Empire because they extended all the way throughout all those places. So Rome actually did get divided, and it is called, however, the indescribable, or the beast that cannot be described, because it is diverse from the others. And truly it is diverse from the others, because it is part of all the others. But then the little horn. If you notice the little horn, it says it comes up from among them. From who? From among them. Which means then that if the little horn is the one that finally is the Antichrist, then it cannot be Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan did not rise up out of the division of Rome, which is Europe. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so you can see then from the scriptures that God really helps us to identify with this. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and the mouth speaking great things. What happened was that the ten kings were turned over to what is called the papacy. But there were three kings that refused to submit to the papacy. Constantine the emperor had moved his throne to Constantinople over in Turkey, and he left the western part to the Catholic Church, the papacy. When those three powers refused to submit to the papacy enjoined upon the other seven tribes to support it, and unfortunately they did. So those seven tribes supported the papacy, and they went against the three and completely destroyed the three. That's why it remains with the ten horns on seven heads. If you subtract three from ten, you get one. Seven. So now you have seven heads, but you have ten horns. In other words, the authority or the power of the ten remains, but only with seven heads. So now we have divided nations of Europe, but if you know anything about your ancestry, did you hear what I said? You know then that borders shifted in Europe all the time. There were different powers who would rise up and to rather conquer the others, and then the others would rise up and conquer the others. I know that, for example, when Hitler went to attack the world and Russia beat Hitler, Russia then rewarded Romania for being on its side and punished Hungary for being on the side of Hitler. And so they moved the border. So a part of Romania is not original from Romania. It is actually from Hungary. And if you go there, in the northern part of Romania, you'll find a lot of Hungarians that still live there, because they had their houses and their farms, and they weren't going to leave it, so they stayed in Romania, no longer in Hungary. The same thing with Strasbourg. Strasbourg belonged to Germany. But because France was an ally with the United States and England and all that, when the Germans lost, Strasbourg was given to France. So today, Strasbourg, which is a German name, is under the French government, not under the German government. So borders do shift and mix, and so all of us, we think we're actually purebred, we're all mixed up. Is that true? My dear wife, She has Norwegian, Swede, she has Scottish, English, and Irish, and German. Is that mixed up or not? Well, she's not mixed up, but at least all the things that she got were pretty quite a mix. All right? So what took place then was all of this changing, and now you have a divided nation of Europe that a power, a horn rises up that takes control over all of those horns and begins to lead against God. And so it says, I beheld, and the same horn made war with who? With the saints. And by the way, if you are a believer, according to the Bible, you are a saint. Did you know that? I know you don't feel very saintly, but that's not the question. The Bible calls believers saints. Not somebody who's in heaven. You. Are you a believer? then praise God that you're a saint. You may not act saintly sometimes, but that's why God has mercy on you. All right? So what happens then is this power, this little horn, makes war against the believers, the saints, and prevails against them. Then the scripture says, he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change the times and the laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of times. Now, a time represents a year in Bible prophecy. Times is 2 years. Dividing of time, half a year. So that's 3.5 years, okay? And later on, you'll see why that's significant. If you notice, Revelation chapter 12 says, and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for what? Times and what? Times and half a times. Is that the same language? Yes or no? All right, look. Times and half a times. Times and half a times. In other words, the same period of time that the church of God, the true believers, had to be in hiding for 1,260 years, the other religious power was dominant over Europe. And so that's why it was able to persecute the saints. So, notice then that time period, times dividing of times, is also mentioned again in chapter 12. But this time it doesn't use times after times. It uses 1,260 days, which is 1,260 days or years. In other words, the prophecy tells us then that this little horn would rise up and control Europe or those nations for a period of 1,260 years. Now, since that's the case, it cannot be a person. Cannot be what? Why can it not be a person? Because nobody lives 1,260 years. Period. So it is a power that rises up that controls the world, but it is led by a man. It is led by what? By a man. So, Bible prophecy, one day for a year, Ezekiel 4:6, and Numbers. Numbers 14:34, by the way, is when God said, you shall be in the wilderness 40 days, each day for a year. So how many years did they spend in the wilderness? 40 days or 40 years? 40 years. So a day equals a year in prophetic time. So here is a power then that rises up and persecutes the saints, those who follow God and follow the scriptures. And I saw one of its heads that we were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world would wander unto the beast. In other words, that power would reign for 1,260 years, and at the end of 1,260 years, one of its heads would be wounded, but the wound would be healed. All right? So remember those details, because it's given us the identification of who the Antichrist could possibly be. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity, and he that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here's the patience and the faith of the saints. In other words, this power would use the sword to kill, and the scripture says then that the power itself would be inflicted a wound. It receives worship according to Revelation chapter 13, verse 4. So must be not just a political power, but it must be a religious power. So it's a political, religious power that rises up in Europe out of the divisions of the Roman Empire. It also tries to change the times and what? Times and the laws. Now I want to ask you a question. What law can it be referring to? The law of God. That's correct. And I just want you to remember this, that whenever there's a coup d'etat, when a power tries to take over another power, one of the first things they do is change the laws. Because they want the laws to support their regime, not the former regime. And so, God has his laws, and this power would choose to try to change the law of God so that it would reflect toward it rather than toward God. Does that make sense to you? Because the whole purpose of this power is to unseat Christ, even if it uses the things of Christ, to deceive people to think that they're worshiping God, when in reality they're not giving worship to God, they're giving worship to that power that has changed the law for its purpose. So, you have then, it speaks great words in blasphemy. Now, most people don't know what blasphemy is, so let me quickly share what blasphemy is. Blasphemy happens to be not cursing, as people think. You can blaspheme God by cursing, but it's not necessarily dealing with cursing. It is dealing with something worse than that. And that is that when Jesus claimed to be able to forgive sins, the people of his day, the leaders, said, why does this man thus speak what? Blasphemies. Who can forgive sins but God only? So if I tell you that I have the power of God to forgive sins, what am I doing? I'm speaking blasphemies, okay? In other words, blasphemy has to do with some human being that takes prerogative upon himself that it belongs to God only. Here's another demonstration. The Jews answered Jesus, which is him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for what? But for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. So anyone who claims to be Jesus today, what are they doing? Blaspheming. They're blaspheming. Anybody who tries to take the place of God on this earth, it is blasphemous. Okay? Speaking blasphemy. All right? Now, this particular power is also called a woman. What is it called? A woman. And the word woman represents a church. Jesus compares his church to a woman. In fact, the Bible says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. So Jesus compares his church to a wife or a woman. And so this power is also a religious entity called a woman, which is a church. So you can see then all these identifying marks. And then it says that this woman is a city. Interesting. So it calls it a woman that is a city. And then it says that this city sits on how many hills? Seven mountains. You see that? Seven mountains. Revelation 17:9. So there is a power that rises out of the fallen Roman Empire, that eventually takes control of the European nations. And it turns out to be a religious entity that has a man as its head that is controlling Europe and that persecutes God's people and that reigns for 1260 years and receives a wound. So, the beast has a what? A number. And the number is how much? 666. All right? 666. So, let's do a quick review. The little horn rises up out of the 10 divisions of Rome. So it has to be something that began back during the Roman times. That's why John says that the spirit of Antichrist already has begun. Then it says it plucks up three, and it did. It plucked up three of the kingdoms, and basically it was a religious controversy. The controversy was that the three empires that did not go along with the papacy were considered to be Arian. And the papacy then did not wanted to subjugate them or get them to teach what they were teaching, and they refused. And so a war broke out, and those, by the way, the Franks or the French were the ones that gave their support to the papacy that led the other six to join in against the three, the Arian powers, which were the Herulites, the Vandals, and the Suevis. No, not the Suevis. Yeah, thank you, Visigoth. All right. So the persecuting power then, and then it changes, seeks to change the laws of God. Let me ask you a question. When you think of time and law, which commandments deals with time? What does the fourth speak about?
The Sabbath, and territory, and seal.
Basil has a good mega voice, doesn't he? Okay. All right. Then the scripture says it receives a what? A deadly wound. Then it makes the world drunk with the wine, which has to do with false teachings or false doctrines. The wound is healed, and it has a number and a mark. It is a woman, a church, that rises up in European countries. It sits on seven mountains or hills. It is called Babylon the Great, and has a number and mark. And God calls His people out of it. So the exit from Babylon began during the Reformation. And many, many people came to this country to find what we call religious liberty. How many of you are grateful that you are in America? Can I see your hands? Yes, God bless America. It has given us the opportunity to be free. So, Jesus then makes a statement. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of man. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and have the one. The faith of Jesus. Now I'm going to leave it to you to think about these identified marks and to come up with who you think the beast of Revelation 13 is. Now I don't want you to call it out. I just want you to think about it, go home, and dwell upon what you just heard tonight. And Tuesday night, we will finish the beast of Revelation 13 and the mark of the beast. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for helping us to understand history and to see then that we are actually witnessing today the developments of that which you declared would take place. And we pray that you will help us to know the truth so that the truth can set us free. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.